for your glory. God will keep you. It'll keep you. When the enemy comes to wipe you out, try to take you out, the glory of God will keep you. A couple weeks ago, I was coming up Sherwood, and this lady was coming up the one way, coming right towards me, right? For the glory of God to keep you. Was coming to church. She coming up a one way, almost a head-on collision. But for his glory, he'll keep you. Yesterday, I went down to Opelousas to do a vow renewal for my cousin. 50 years of marriage. My God, y'all give God a hand clap. 50 years. Strong years. That's 50 longer than some of y'all been born. Right? They've been married that long. And while I was heading to Opelousas, road rage was taking place around me. Two Ram trucks cutting each other off, trying to push one into the 18-wheeler. Right in front of me, I'm right in the midst of all of this taking place. Man is inches from my bumper, trying to get away from the other guy. Eventually, they pulled over the side of the road. Both of them, I don't know what happened. Maybe they started fighting, I don't know. But for his glory. But for his glory. I mean, I was just inches away. We're on the Chaffee Isle River Bridge. Right, ain't much room for error. Ain't much room. And they going in and out. And I know they were going fast because I was going fast. Pray for me. I was at 90. They were doing 110 plus. That's jail time. That's jail time. I mean, just going in and out. Inches away from the guardrail, inches away from 18-wheelers, and they're going in and out like that. I say, Lord, you got to do something. Either free me or deliver them. And I'm stuck between the rail and the 18-wheeler. All of a sudden, 18-wheeler slam on brakes. Say, okay, God, that's my entry. And, you know, I had to use the wisdom of God. Say, flee from fools. So I obeyed the Lord. Drop that thing in manual shift. Yeah. I got away. But watch. For his glory. For his glory. For his glory. Watch, so I could be here today for somebody. Yeah, I missed that. See, that sound conceited. No, he got me away for somebody. You escaped that thing for somebody. You came out for your family. You came out for your neighborhood. You came out of the thing. Watch this, or you can go back to the thing and pull somebody else out. You came out for a purpose. You think he delivered you from sickness for you to sit down on your butt and not tell somebody? He brought you out for a purpose. He brought you out for a reason. God has purpose on your life. Oh, if I had time to pump the brake right there. That's why you got to be careful who you marry. Oh, let me talk to the fellas for a second. You better not marry pretty. You better marry powerful. Don't marry because she's pretty. You need somebody with some power. Oh, she's fine. She better be faithful to the things of God. She's smart. She better have God's wisdom to be able to handle the household and the family and the bills. You better marry somebody with the wisdom of God. Not because she looks good on Instagram. Oh no, life is beyond Instagram. You better marry for purpose. Oh, y'all better hear that. You better marry for purpose. Because watch this. There's an ordination on your life. And that ordination, watch, that ordination is such that everything that's attached to you has to line up with that ordination. It's what God ordained. And if you marry somebody that's not lined up with that ordination, then you're going to find yourself struggling. Oh, God. You don't line up with my purpose. So now we're always fighting. Watch this. Worst thing you do is fight over the purpose of God. Why are you always at church? That's my ordination. Why you spend 12 hours in the grocery store measuring people? God ordained you. But when you marry somebody that lines up with your purpose, while you out there praying, they praying. While they sitting in that car waiting them 2 hours for you to come out with them eggs and that milk, they in the car shop. Lord, use her. Lord, use him. God, use her. Cry. They lined up with your purpose. Lined up with your purpose. Lined up with your purpose. So don't just wait to marry a man. Don't wait to just marry a woman. Marry somebody who is lined up with the will of God for your life. That's going to work with the plan of God for your life. There will be strife otherwise. Okay, let me give you the Bible and give you a better interpretation. Don't be unequally yoked with the unbeliever. Wait. You think it was just the world. No. Here's the better interpretation. Don't be unequally yoked with someone who has a different belief than you. It says unbelief. It didn't say somebody who didn't believe in God. They may not have the same belief as you. I believe in giving. I don't. But I love Jesus. Oh, y'all quiet up in here. I believe in serving. I don't. I just want to go to church, sit down. You don't have the same belief that I have. I believe God still heals. I don't. You're going to die. I believe in speaking in tongues. I don't. Don't be doing that in my house. But we both love Jesus. You have a different belief than I do. And so now we get married and we're fighting and fussing over our God that we have different beliefs in. Oh, my God. So for those of you looking to get married, come and see me. Come and see me. I'm going to help you. We're going to make sure you lined up. Make sure your belief systems are intact. I want to send my kids to private school. I did good. I went to public school. You got different beliefs. Y'all, why y'all looking at me strange? I'm trying to help y'all biblically. I'm just saying. Well, we already got married. But y'all need to go to the altar. Because somebody got to die. Woo! In other words, you still alive. You still operating out of your own will and your own desires. You got to die. How can two become one unless two die to resurrect as one? So you got to die. You got to die. Every day you got to die. Married folk, every day you got to die. Because it's going to require you to do some things sometimes you don't want to do. You got to die. Because if it fits in the will and the plan of God, you got to die. You got to die. Marriage is death. Oh, God. Why am I here? You got to die. Every day you wake up, you got to die. Bible says it this way, you see y'all looking at it strange. that you have to crucify daily. Sometimes, when it feels good, when I want to, daily, daily. So marriage is death. I say, until death do us part, we are already parted. We died at the altar. Amen. Really good, son. That combo. Thank you. Appreciate it. Amen. Let's go to work. Grab your Bibles if you would. My aunt, see God. Yeah, by compliment, nah. Like your bandana. Come on, grab your Bibles. Let's go to work. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Bless his wonderful, righteous, holy name. We're going to go to John chapter number 1, verse number 29. Gospel of John chapter 1, verse number 29. Hold your finger there. Jump over to Habakkuk chapter number 2, verse number 14. Rob God. No, we ain't going there. We ain't going to pocket three. Amen. And rob God. About the chapter 2, verse number 14. We're going to forego our faith declaration on today so we can jump right into this thing. Somebody shout jump. Shout it again. Shout jump. Habakkuk chapter number 2 is where we begin reading. The word of the Lord declares unto us, for the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Let me read that again for your hearing. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. It's going to fill it so that it's going to be like the waters covering the earth. The knowledge. Hear this, knowledge without revelation is powerless. Y'all didn't catch that. Knowledge without revelation is powerless. You can know the word and still have no power. But Joe Parrott, you know, a parrot just regurgitate what he heard. He has no words of his own. He only say what he heard. So really he have no power. He just got words. So there's a lot of people in church, you got a lot of word, but you ain't got no power. You got a suitcase of knowledge and no power to back it up. Paul said it this way, I didn't come to you in eloquent speech. I didn't come talking all proper. I came to you in demonstration of power. So every time you open up your mouth and you share the word, there should be a manifestation of God's power behind it. Every time you open your mouth, power should back it up. Power should back it up. And the church is waxing weak. Not the ecclesia. This regiment of the body, the church, the people, waxing weak. That's why when sickness and disease come, we bow to it. Doctors say you have a bad report. Oh, God, I'm going to die. Where your power at? When you're going to declare, I shall live and not die, and declare the glorious works of the Lord? When you're going to speak to that thing where it says, speak to the mountain and the mountain be removed? When you're going to speak to it? The end of the matter should be but God. Faith is not denying what you're going through. Faith is, God, I'm trusting you while I'm going through it. Yes, I'm sick, but God. Yes, I'm broke, but God. But God. And the church has become weak because you come Sunday, you get word. But on Monday, you ain't got nothing. What a happy experience. Shout. 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 But no power. No power. It's time to walk in power. It's time to walk in power. Hallelujah. I'm walking power. Hallelujah. Oh, indeed, your life is glorious. We try to take you out many a time. But God's glory. Hallelujah. God Almighty. It's like these crazy and prophetic words. Until it came to pass. Yeah. They gonna listen to you. They gonna listen and learn. And when we get all put in these, stuff happens. I'm sorry, y'all still standing? I'm sorry. So knowledge without revelation is powerless. So it's not enough to know the word. You gotta get the revelation of the word. Satan knows the word, but he has no revelation of the word. Satan knows the word. Don't be fooled. He knows the word. He goes to Jesus and said, Jesus, the angels will not cause you to dash your foot against. That's word. He knew the word. But he had no revelation of that. No revelation. So you got to have revelation knowledge of the word. And I'm saying this to you right now, and I'm going to speed up in a second. Because there's many folk who got a lot of knowledge. And some people who are seeking knowledge, but they're not seeking God. And so the things they're going to tell you is going to sound so knowledgeable. And you'll be like, oh, that's got to be true, but it ain't God's truth. But y'all hear me? Because deception is coming. We're close to the end time. So watch this. He has to deceive you. And in order for deception to work, it has to have some element of truth. And so what Satan is going to do in this season, he's going to bring you a lot of truth mixed with some lies. So this is how it works. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. So he's going to drop a whole lot of truth with a drop of a lie. And the whole thing is. The whole thing is jacked up. Because of one little pinch of a lie. Okay. Macy not here right now. If Macy tells me I'm going to the store, but along the way, he stops here, there, and everywhere. The whole thing is a lie. I call him and say, where are you? I'm at the store. That's true. Where'd you go? I went to the store. That's true. But GPS says you stop here, you stop there, you stop there. So that means the whole thing you said is what? So be careful this day. You're going to be on YouTube. Sound good. Praise the Lord. That's good. It's all a lie. It's all a lie. That's why you need revelation of God's word, so you can now be able to identify a lie when it's presented to you. Okay? All right. John chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Pump the brake, preacher. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. It just hit me. He didn't take the sins. Singular. He took the sin. Oh, y'all read? What your Bible say? There's one sin. I see now how the Holy Spirit weaves this thing together. You know what the sin is? The lack of knowledge.
Woo! Did y'all hear what I just said by the Holy Spirit? He took the sin of the world. It's the lack of knowledge of God. Because watch this. If you have knowledge, true knowledge of him, there is no sin. For by which there is no law. Why? Because you have knowledge of him. So when Jesus came, he came as the light of the world. He came as the word to what give you knowledge. So watch this. You got knowledge, you got no sin. So the reason why you're falling, vacillating in and out of sin, because you have no knowledge. Paul said, without the law, I would have not known. How did you know? Knowledge. I didn't know the strength of the law until, I didn't know the power of sin until I got knowledge. Oh, y'all going to suffer with me initially. Y'all going to remain standing. What happened in the garden? They ate up the tree of. So what happened when they ate up the tree of knowledge? Sin came into the world. Because they now have knowledge. But they had the wrong knowledge. So when Jesus came, he says, I'm taking away the sin. Because watch, you got knowledge of me now, and the knowledge you had was not of me. Because Satan tried to trick you and say, once you get this knowledge, you'll be like God. So all this time they were operating on the false ideology of them trying to be like God, not knowing that God had already been in them. In other words, why are you trying to work to be like God when God has already breathed himself in you? So watch, and I'm going to keep moving. He gave them a work-based theology. And some of us are still up under that curse where you're trying to work to be like when he already made you like. He already made you in his likeness and his image. But you working hard. Gotta make sure I don't miss church. Gotta make sure I make morning prayer. Oh, I don't try to make it to church to be like God. I make it to church because I love God. I don't read my word to be like God. I read my word because I love God's word. I don't serve because I want to be seen. I serve because I love God and his people. I do it for a love of God. Not to get closer to him, not to get nothing from him. God, I love you. I love you. All that I do, God, I do because I love you. Come on, lift your hands. Father, I declare this to the people who are called according to your purpose, your understanding, and your knowledge. God, I pray the mind of God be bestowed in each and every one of them. That kingdom knowledge fill their vessels. God, I pray, God, that the works that they work, God, the ones they work that are in vain, Father, the dead works of which they work, God, Father, I pray now they'll revert to working not to be like you, but to rest in you and to trust in you, God. God, we thank you. We thank you that the sin of this world has been removed. It's in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Slap high five with your neighbor before you seat it. And say, I got history with God. I got history with God. It's almost, clock said I got 19 minutes. Amen. Lord Jesus. I was on a podcast last week and somebody asked the question, when you get up to preach, how much time do you look to spend? 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes? And one of the persons on the podcast says, when I finish, amen. So, amen, when I finish, y'all. Ain't too many amens. Everybody going to vacate, it's going to be the four of us, and I'm just going to be, amen, that's fine. Amen.
Hallelujah. God is good. Y'all so churchy. All them churchy cliches. God is good. All the time and all the time. Until you're going through something. Then you forget how good God is. Then you forget you're not crying. Apostle, I thought God was good all the time. Why he ain't good right now? Okay, I'm going to leave y'all alone. She said, I'm going to cry, baby. You're going to cry anyway, huh? It's my party. I'm going to cry. Okay, so God is good. We know he is. And all the time, he is good. That is the nature and the essence of who God is. And you should have that history with God, knowing that. I want to tag this today. I got history with God. Now behold the Lamb. Now behold the Lamb. Somebody shall behold him. John is in his ministry, John the Baptist, and in his ministry, he's with his disciples, and as he is tooling his disciples, he's educating them, talking with them. He raises his eyes up and he looks and he sees Jesus. And he tells his disciples, watch, behold the Lamb of God that taketh the sin of the world. Behold, look at him. Behold is not just a term just to look. It is not just a term to look at or to put your eyes on. This word behold has some intensity to it. What is the intensity possible? This word behold means to put your eyes with a fixed gaze. A fixed gaze that you don't see nothing else. Because you're beholding this thing that is before you. And here's the issue that we have a lot of times. Watch. We love Jesus. We put our eyes on him, but we're distracted by other stuff. That's not a beholding. And Satan's job, watch this. John tells us it's to steal. Come on, Bible readers. Steal, kill, destroy. You're getting ahead of me. But that is interpreted in everyday life for us, because nothing has been healed. Some things may have been destroyed. But watch. Distracted, detained, and detoured. So what he does is, Satan's job, we know the top part, kill, steal, and destroy, but his tactic is operating out of that, where he comes to distract you, take your eyes off of Jesus, detain you, keep you from moving forward, and to detour you, to get you going another route. That's why we got to take hold of this intensity of beholding, because watch this, when I behold Jesus, my eyes is fixed. Yeah, she fine. Yeah, that's a great opportunity, a lot of money, but I'm going to have to sell my soul out. I'm beholding. Yeah, my husband ain't treating me right. I'm beholding. Yes, my wife don't respect me. I'm beholding. I'm not being distracted by that. I'm beholding Jesus. I'm beholding him. Sickness come. I'm beholding. I'm looking at to the author and the finisher of my faith. I'm beholding. I know what you say, but I heard what he said. I'm beholding. So he comes, watch this, to distract us. And many of us, even in church right now, you're distracted. That little bing of social media bing, now you're going down the rabbit hole. And when you're supposed to be beholding, you're now holding that timeline. Can I tell you something? You know, that's why they call it reels. They want to reel you in. Got you. You had a little break, and you like, oh, I'm gonna, before you know, the hour done passed. these legs get up. He got the wobble legs. One little reel got you hooked. And watch this. It started with a church event. You're just like, praise God. That's how he gets you. Nice praise break. You're like, oh, God, that's glory. Whole hour later, you still reeled in. I'm weak. Glory to God. Okay, all right. And so he comes to distract you, detain you, keep you from moving forward, getting you to the place that God has you to be. And you're wondering why you're not progressing in life. It's because you have been distracted so much that you're now detained. You've been distracted so long that you're now stagnant. And instead of you moving forward, you're stagnant. And you're thinking, well, I'm not going backwards. I'm okay. That's a trick of the enemy. Just because you're not moving forward, nor are you going backward, you're thinking, man, I'm okay. I ain't lose nothing. You ain't gained nothing either. He wants you to go in the promised land and possess the promised land, but you good at the riverbank of Jordan. Because the water is cool, it's fresh, and you okay. You're okay by the brook because he's bringing ravens to bring you meat. And you're okay. And you thank God, I'm good. He's like, no, but I got better. But you're stuck and stagnant at this that you can't get to that. And I got so much more for you. And you're like, I'm comfortable. He's like, I don't want you to be comfortable. I got much more. There are more people that you need to reach. But I need you to get up and go. But you're comfortable. You're good. And that's a trick of the enemy. Comfortability. Oh, complacency. We're good. We hadn't fought in weeks. We good. Oh, y'all quiet. I'm talking to that. We good. We good. We hadn't fought. We good. Really? You sure you good? Yeah. That's the trick of the enemy. So now he detains you. Keeps you from going forward. Watch this. After you detain long enough, detours. So instead of you getting up going where God wants you to go, he then detours you. You're going a whole nother route. And watch this. Here's the trick. Sometimes the other route just like the route that you're on. Y'all missed that. That's how he gets you. Because it looked just like where you've been. He gets you to a place where you're comfortable. He's sending you in a route that's comfortable to you. You know, go and hang out with them old folk because you're comfortable with them. And he's like, yeah, you know, that's them old church folk who you left but didn't have the same mindset that you have now. Why are you going back to them? Because it looked like church. Yeah, I'm trying to help somebody today. And you hanging out with a bunch of church folk who have no revelation knowledge, thus have no power. And you wonder why you're sliding back into your old you. Because the pathway looked the same. But he's detoured you. And so now you're in this church and you ain't growing. Not this church. A church. And you're sitting there and you're drying up. Because it looked like the same pathway of which you left. Am I helping somebody? Distract you. Detain you. Detour you. Because the pathway at the end is destruction. Let me give you how the scripture says. There's a way that seems right unto man, but its end is in destruction. Can I help you? Okay, so that's Satan's job. He'll see him destroyed, but it's manifest. He's distracting you, detaining you, and detouring you. So let's go to work. John chapter 1, verse 12. But as many have received him, to them gave him power. Somebody shout power. Watch, you got power. You got power. Tell your neighbor you got power. Now lean back and put your best voice on and say, you got the power. He gave you power. Watch this. For what purpose? To become sons. So you got power. You got this knowledge, the revelation of it, to give you power. But to do what? To become sons. Not to just be saved, but to become sons. Yeah, it's a big difference. Because there's a lot of saved folk that ain't sons. There's a lot of church people who are saved, they love Jesus, but they have yet to mature into sons. Sons of God. As a son, watch this, I have an assignment as a son. And my assignment as a son is to fulfill my Father's will. And there's a lot of saved folk that won't enter into the will of God. They want to still have their way. Oh, y'all quiet. Well, you tell me I can be saved and still operate my own will? Yes, you can. Paul said, the things I will to do. Now, Paul is saved among saved. And I dare you to say Paul wasn't saved. But even Paul had a dilemma. The things that I want to do, I find myself not doing. And the things I don't want to do, I find... Oh, wretched man, who will save a sinner like me? Paul had an issue, even in his salvation. And he saved among saved. Paul said, I got a thorn in my flesh. This flesh is a mess. That's how I would say it. Yo. My flesh is a mess. Sometimes, boy, that flesh. I ain't gonna lie. Sometimes I'll be in the grocery store. I'll be flesh cutting up. Y'all see me, don't think the pastor got me crazy. No, I'm just acting up. Get yourself together. Right? And so watch this. So here it is. He gave us power to do what? To become sons of God. We have an assignment. As a son, my children have an assignment as my son. I made this declaration that my kids are going to fulfill my legacy. That they're going to put some respect on my name. My kids got to go and put some respect. I want them to go and do so much greatness in life that they look back and say, man, your daddy had to be a good dude. That when they hear, oh, you Keith Reshort, Melvin Keith Reshort. Yeah, that's my whole name, my government name. They look, man, golly, you gotta be Melvin's son. Yeah, I am. They gotta fulfill the will of God. Fulfill. So when people see them, catch it, they see me. Not just because they handsome like me. I mean, that too. Y'all laughing too hard. But when they see my kids, I want them to see me. Not because of their outward appearance, but because of their integrity and their character and their drive and their zeal for the things of God. When they look and say, man, you got to be Apostle Reshaw's son and daughter. You got to be. Watch, as a son. So if I want that so much more for my children, how much more I'll have... want us to fulfill his will, to be like him in the earth realm, that when people see us, they don't see us, they see him. That when people talk to us, they don't hear our voice, they hear the voice of God coming out of our mouths. That every time you open up your mouth, they're like, man, I feel Jesus. And you were just talking about taco salad. They're like, ooh, I feel anointing on that. My God, you selling cars. They like, man, I feel God on this thing. People should feel the glory and the grace of God on your life so much so. Watch this. It is the goodness of God that leadeth one unto repentance. So when God is good to you and you are good to others, others should be drawn. Drawn. Pulled into the presence of God. That's what sons do. Sons do. Watch this. As a son and daughter, I feel the ladies hate me. There is no male or female in this. Amen. So we're talking to you too. But watch this. My son can invite people to the house. He's got to ask for it. When you get to a level of maturity, you got to ask him. Daddy, I'm coming home with Jane. I mean, Jane. Okay. I invited my girlfriend to Thanksgiving dinner. Okay. when he's mature enough, you can make mature decisions as a son. Amen. When you mature enough, you can make mature decisions. And so as a son, I can invite people. So watch this. As a son and daughter, you have permission to invite people in. And some of us are not operating in sonship. We good with coming in by ourselves. Y'all quiet. Yeah, selfish. That's what it is. I want to keep it all to myself. That's a selfish son that don't want to invite others in to experience what you experience. Look at your neighbor and say, you're selfish. Oh, wretched man am I. So he has given us power to become sons. So there are four words used in the New Testament that identifies or defines power in the Hebrew, in the Greek, right? Four words. We know dunamis power from the book of Acts, right? Dunamis. You know, everybody want that dunamis power, right? Everybody want that dynamite, that explosion. You know, preach, you got that dunamis power. You want that. You need that. Look at your neighbor and say, you need that. You need that dunamis power. That dunamis power is inerrant power. It's the ability to do what you can't do in your own natural self. So you need that dunamis power to be able to do some things that you can't do on your own. You need that. Look at your neighbor and say, you need that. You need that. There's another word for power. Kratos is the word. Kratos, it's the ruling power and dominion, right? So when God speaks of power, he speaks of not only us having the ability and the power to do things, but he also gives us the power to rule and to have dominion. Glory to God. So he gives you this power to rule over. We see that in Genesis. He's given man power and dominion to rule, to multiply over the earth, right? And so there's another word, iskos. It's strength, might, and power. You need that. It's strength and might. Strength and might. You know, why strength and might? That you'll have the strength when you're feeling weak. Anybody ever felt weak in a situation? And I'm not talking about like a physical weakness, but like you just couldn't do what you needed to do. You know, you ever woke up in the morning just like feeling like blah? Didn't have the might to be able to get up and do just the simple things, like wash your face. Just want to stay in bed. You wanted some coffee, but didn't want to get out of bed to get it. It just didn't have the might. But God gives us power. Watch this, to do some things we don't want to do. Watch the might. The might to forgive. Because you didn't want to forgive. You need the might. You know, the might to say, I'm sorry, when you really want to punch him. It gives you the might to do the things that you can't do on your own or don't want to do. Your will is not there. And God says, I put my will on your will so that you're willed to do what I need you to do, right? And so he gives us that type of power. But the last one, we don't really focus on a lot, ecclesia power. And that's what this text tells us. He has given us the type of power to become sons, the ecclesia. But that word tells us the authority, the right to exercise power, or to, watch this, represent. Oh, my God. This is where your feet get to the fire. He gives you the power, the authority, the right to exercise power, but lastly, he gives you the power to represent. To represent. So when you show up at a place, you're not showing up on your own. You're showing up to represent God. Oh, my goodness. That when you show up, Azusa shows up. You are a representative. Watch, you are an ambassador. You represent. So the ambassador of the United States, when he goes places, right? When you're an ambassador in another country, you're not the country, but you represent the country. And so when you show up as a representative. And watch, they have to treat you the same way they treat the country you came from. You represent the United States. So in other words, when you come after me, you ain't coming after me. You're coming after who I represent. So when you become a son, when people come after you as a son, they're not coming after you. They're coming after who you represent. So that's why when you share the gospel and they reject the gospel, dust your feet and keep moving. Because you're not rejecting me. You're rejecting the one who sent me. So you got to come against the kingdom of God. See, neighbor, I got backing. I don't come by myself. I come with a host of heavenly angels, an army. When I go places, I'm going there loaded. When I go there, I'm coming there stacked. I'm coming there thick. I'm heavy when I go. When I show up, I'm heavy. I'm heavy, heavy, heavy. And they look at me and they're like, boy, you ain't but $120. Yeah, but in the spirit, ha, ha, oh, glory. Mess with me if you want to. Mess with me if you want to. God, I pray that you will open up his eyes, that he will see that there's more for us than against us. Just mess with me if you want to. Satan, you had your chance. My boys done showed up now. Oh, my goodness. Trouble got trouble. I'm looking for trouble. See, some of y'all running from trouble. I'm looking for trouble. I come to make some good trouble. Amen. But this Azusa, watch this, is the ability to represent. So what God did, or what he does, is what he did in the beginning. He breathed himself, watch, in man to represent him in earth. That is your assignment. That is your assignment. I'm going to say it again until you get it. That is your assignment, is to represent the kingdom of God in the earth, to represent God to man. Now, I know y'all got some bad images before you, some bad representations. Uh-huh. Yeah. Some of y'all going to thump on Trump. Sometimes bad representations. Amen. We got some bad representation. Got some preachers. Bad representation. And so watch this. Don't let what they present to you be the way that you present. Oh, God. Just because they got some bad examples out there, don't you become a bad example. And don't stop looking for examples, because they're bad examples. Y'all ever had a bad meal at a restaurant? Did you stop eating after that bad meal? I can tell some of y'all. I put on some pounds. I mean, I put on some weight, girl. I'm talking about all of us. I'm still eating. I went home last night from the bar. We knew they gave me a big old heavy class. They play heavy. Can I get another one? One for later and one for now. One didn't make it home. I walked through the door with one plate, and both of them were heavy. I paid for it this morning. I put on a stretch suit. Y'all thought this was fashion. I had to get something that fit. Yeah. And watch this. Because you have bad examples, now you have done away with experiences. Because this one person came into your life and they done something wrong, now you want to block everybody out of your life. Okay, you made that statement, I never open my heart up to nobody ever again. Well, you're going to let one person, one experience, cause you to miss out on all of this other good stuff? You allow one offense in church to allow you to stay out of all of these good churches? I don't get it. You tell me you're going to allow that to limit you and your experiences because of one bad experience? No. Right? And so we got these bad representations out there. I'm going to move faster. Some of y'all are going weary. Right? But we are to, watch this, we are to represent. Somebody shout, rep the king. Come on, shout louder, rep the king. So it's our job from the beginning of time. If you ever wonder why God created man for this purpose, to be his reflection in earth. That you would reflect God in all things. All that God is, you should reflect here in the earth. Woo. All that he is, you should reflect it. Jehovah Jireh, you should reflect provision in the earth. Oh my God. They closed their purse books on that one. Yeah, you are to be kingdom representative financially in the earth realm. So there are kingdom assignments and projects that God placed you in the earth realm to fulfill. You are the financier of that project. So you ought to reflect God in the earth realm. Oh my goodness, y'all didn't hear that. Everybody like, I want to be like God. Well, give. Because God gave. You ought to reflect that in the earth realm. So there are projects that God has assigned. Watch this. There's an ordination on your life to fulfill. God ordained you. God ordained you. God ordained you. As Sister Erica says, a missionary, $1 million. How you say? There it is. A millionaire missionary. That God will bring resources in your hands to help fund missions. Everybody want to be rich, but they don't want to reflect God. Everybody want money, but they don't want to reflect God in their money. Not understanding that if I show God in my money, God show me more of him. If I show people God in my money, God got to give me more money so he can show people more of him. I missed that. So every time I show God, people God in my money, God brings me more money to show more people him. Okay. So I'm in Starbucks the other day. This couple is walking up. Holy Spirit say, look, I look. They walk in, they smile and they laughing. They come in the door. Holy Spirit say, pay for the coffee. I go pay for their coffee. Like, well, you don't have to do that. I said, no, I must. Holy Spirit told me. I must. I have to. Get down to the end of the counter. They got their coffee. I got mine. They said, oh, thank you. You didn't have to do that. I know. Praise God. And I stuck my hand in my pocket. And the Holy Spirit said, give them everything in your pocket. And I had a dollar that was folded up real tight in my pocket. But then, I looked again, I had a $50 bill in my pocket. Now, you know, I'm a pretty good steward of money. When people say they find money and they think it's a blessing, no, you're a bad steward. When you find money that you already had, that ain't from God, you're a bad steward. You lost that. I was a bad steward that time. I lost. It was folksy. It was seed in the ground. Now watch. Somebody gave me that. Now, let me help you right here. There's a difference between your seed and your harvest. And you must know the difference. So when God gives you seed, you got to ask God, what do I do with it? Is this seed or is it harvest? Is it for me to sow or for me to eat? And many of you eat your seed because you thought it was harvest. So when God puts something in your hand, God, what is this, seed or harvest? Is this for me to eat off of or is this for me to sow again? And some of you are not reaping a harvest off the seed that you got because watch this, you ate the seed. When God says, I want you to now sow that so you reap a more abundant harvest, but you ate the seed of the harvest. Yeah, I'm not catching that. And so, Holy Spirit, what you want me to do with this? And so I put it and said, that seed. And I gave it to him. I said, bless you. Right? I said to this man, I don't know the man. I said, treat her right today. Treat her right. She looks back at me and says, oh my God, today is our anniversary. And look, he said, we're just going to treat ourselves to coffee. Now you can go have a dinner. I was God's representative in the earth realm. I was God's representative in the earth realm. I get a call. We had set up to have the food for yesterday. They told me at first they couldn't do it. They called me up from Starbucks and said, hey, listen, we got all this food we need you to pick up. We got all of this stuff. When can you pick up all of this food? Now watch. I gave 50, but they gave me over $500 worth of food. I got to go pick up. I'm just saying, right? And so watch. When you represent God in all that he is in the earth realm, God's got to reflect more of him in you. So when it comes to healing, it says you can lay a hand on the sick and they recover. Because watch this, he is Jehovah what? No, I say healing. Rapha. Y'all making me look bad on camera. Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth thee. But some of y'all minds are so stuck on the provision, you're like, Jehovah Jireh, glory. My God is a giver. Mighty God. Y'all want me to stay on the giving part. But watch this. The more you show of God in the earth realm, the more of God he'll show himself to you. You'll begin to walk in a different revelation, a different dimension of God. You begin to walk in a different dimension of God. Because God says, listen, I want to be shown in the earth realm. I'm looking for a vessel. He told Isaiah, he said, who shall I send? Who shall I send? God said, I got this beam of light. I want to beam down in the earth realm, but I need a reflector in the earth realm, one that will not consume the light, but one who will reflect the light, one who will not get puffed up or prideful, one that will not seek after fame, but will make my name great in the earth realm. I'm looking for one that I can shine my light on. And every time he shines his light, you reflect, he said, well, let me give you some more light. Let me show you another side of me. Oh, you a good giver, but now I want to show that I'm a healer in the earth realm, so I'm going to give you healing hands. Oh, you are good at being a peacemaker, so I'm going to be Jehovah Shalom. And I'm going to reflect that light. So the more you represent God in the earth realm, the more God is going to represent himself back to you. Let's go. So we see in Genesis, I'm going to wrap it up. Y'all. Amen. I told y'all I finished when I and y'all decided to stay, so amen. Praise God. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says this. It says, then God said, let us make human beings. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. They will reign over the fish. That's the dominion authority over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, and all wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human or man and beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. And so God created man, watch this, to look like him. Hallelujah. At the end of it all, God created you to look like him. Look at your name and say, I look like God. Amen. They don't look like God when you look at them, look the other way. Amen. But you were created to look like God. But watch this. It happens in the beholding. It happens in the beholding. So watch. Number one, beholding is declarative. So when you behold God, there's a declaration that needs to go forth. A declaration. So the beholding is declarative. There's something to be said. So watch. Your lifestyle will announce you long before you open your mouth. So watch, your life should declare of the goodness of God, but it would announce you before you even open your mouth. People are not waiting to hear what you say, they're waiting to see how you live. Because you can say what you want to say in your mouth, but your life will prove what's really in your heart. Let me give you a book for that too. It says, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far removed. So your mouth say good stuff, but your life show something else. Yeah, you say hallelujah, praise you, Lord, thank you, Jesus, but you're cussing folk out. Your lifestyle will announce you before you even open up your mouth, before you say a word. Come on, Peter, talk to us. Peter is now denying Christ, I think, for the third time. And this lady comes up and say, you look like one of them. Matter of fact, your speech betrays you. Peter opened up his mouth and she said, oh, you sound like somebody who's been with Jesus. And he didn't say, didn't have a Jesus I love t-shirt. This I know. Why? Because the Bible tells me so. No, Peter was just talking and she looked at him and said, you sound like somebody who's been with Jesus. Your speech betrays you. In other words, you sound good. But I know the truth. I know who you've been with. Your lifestyle will speak greater of you than you will ever say in your life. The moment you show up, they'll know who you are. Uh-huh. He said, that could be good. It better be good. That's why you got to live right. So when you show up, they're like, oh, yeah, don't mess with him. I know what he about. I know what he about. I know what she about. Right. Your lifestyle will speak of you. So there's a declaration. There's something that needs to be declared. Right? All right. The beholding is not only declarative, but it's also transformative. Transformative. The thing that you look at is what you become. What you behold, you become. What you behold, you will become. If you look at it long enough, you'll become just like it. The longer you look at him, the more you become like him. I'm not going to take you there, but Jacob is spending time with his uncle Laban. And Jacob, Hebrew word, trickster, supplanter, get over, and liar, trickster. He meets, watch this, his match. He meets Laban, which is his uncle, who is just much as a schemer, conniver as he is. And so he wants to marry the beautiful one, Rachel, but he ends up getting Leah. Amen. And so Laban says, watch this. If you work for me X amount of years, it's a total of 20 years, I believe, total, you can have both the wives, and I'm going to send you off with some wealth. So it comes to the end of time, and Jacob goes to his uncle and said, well, I've been good to you. You have gained favor and increase and wealth because of me. I've tended your sheep. They have multiplied. You have amassed great wealth. He said, let me go amongst your flock and let me pull out some sheep for myself because I've been good to you. You get a reward for all my hard labor. And Laban says, okay, what you would ask me? Give me all your speckled sheep. Let me get all the ones with spots and blemishes. Let me get all them. I'm going to take them. I feel your Holy Ghost. Here's a type and shadow of Jesus. You tricked me and gave me this harlot for a wife, but you've given me this harlot of a church. I'll go ahead and take her. I really want this one, but I'll go ahead and work for them both. And at the end of the day, give me the spotted, the blemish, the wrinkle, I'll take them too. Okay, if y'all didn't catch that. Give me the whoremonger, the thief, the liar. I want all of them, the adulterer, the fornicator, the gay. Give me all of them, the homo. I want them all. Give me all the spotted ones. Give me them. And then what happens is Laban, at night, he goes and pulls those out and says, go ahead and get it. He goes, he don't find none. He's like, man, I know there was some spotted sheep here. He says, so I tell you what, I'm going to work another 7 years. But watch what he does. He goes and takes some branches, some almond branches, and some poplar branches, and he strips them, showing the bark with stripes. And he places these strips in front of the place of which they feed and they mate. And when they would go to eat, they got these trees there, and the sheep will look at those trees. And they would behold the branches before them. So now when they would reproduce, the ones who were pure came out impure. They came out with stripes and specks. Why? Because of what they were beholding. The more they looked at it, the more they became. And so now he goes and he places the places where they're mating. He puts those sticks there. And so while they procreate, they multiply. They're looking at these stripes. So everyone that would come out came out with stripes. Why? Because of what they were beholding. So now when all of these sheep come out, they were all stripes. So Jacob goes back and says, hey, can I get my reward? He said, yeah, go get all the ones with stripes and the blemishes. And look up, all of them had stripes and blemishes. So he robbed Laban. Got all his wealth. Watch how. It was what he placed before them. Oh, I feel your Holy Ghost. If you put your eyes on the right things, you get the right things. Some of you are so distracted with other stuff. And you're wondering why you're not getting good things in your life because you're looking at the wrong thing. So if you put your eyes right, you get right. That's why, yeah, some of us need an eye checkup. And so what happens is when you behold things, you're transformed into what you behold. That's why John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. I want you to keep your eyes fixed on him. Don't look at no other. Behold the Lamb of God. When you put your eyes on him and nothing else. So it's transformative. Beholding is also authoritative. Gives you authority. Authority. Watch this. Your level of authority, and I'm closing, play softly, is determined by your level of submission to what you're beholding. I'll say that slower. Your level of authority is determined by your level of submission to what you're beholding. You get great power when you keep your eyes on the one with power. The moment you take your eyes off of him, your level of authority drops. They didn't catch that. When you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, you get the authority of the level of what you submit to him. That's why the seven sons of Sceva, when they went to try to operate in this authority, they got their tails whipped. That's why when you go to lay hands on the sick and they don't recover, watch this, you have taken your eyes off of that which is holding. Your level of authority is determined by your level of submission to the one you're beholding. You take your eyes off of the one, you have no more authority. No more power. Now this is going in the spirit, but watch in the natural. If you don't keep your eyes fixed on authority in the natural, your level of submission drops. Your level of authority drops. You get on your job and you get the wrong image of your boss, your level of submission drops. Thus, your level of authority drops. The things you used to have access to, you will no longer have access to. Why? Because you stopped beholding. You stopped submitting. So now you don't have the authority to do what you used to do. Y'all didn't like that. It's because you stopped beholding. When you take your eyes off Jesus, stop submitting to him, your authority comes. And now you're in the earth realm and demons and devils are running rampant in your life and you're saying, get out in Jesus' name. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? You talk a good game. You say the right things. But you're not yourself submitted to the things you talk about. You preach good on Sunday. But has your preaching transformed you? You sing well on the platform. But has your worship transformed you? You know the word. You can regurgitate the word. But has the word transformed you? You stop submitting to, thus your level of authority decreases. Somebody shall behold the Lamb. You got to behold the Lamb. You're going to have to play something a little bit louder. If you expect me to end this, land this plane. I'm going to keep going. Watch this. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, you fill in the blank. keep your eyes on Jesus, my health will be better. Keep your eyes on Jesus, my money will be better. Keep your eyes on Jesus, my family will be better. Keep your eyes on Jesus, my legacy will last. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Whatever it is you're going through right now, keep your eyes on Jesus. Now behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. If you would bow your heads with me, I declare as John declares, now behold, the Lamb of God. Here's your opportunity. Place your eyes on Jesus. Here's your opportunity to behold the Lamb of God. Here's your opportunity. I'm going to pray, after which some of you here today, you need to have a lens adjustment. You need to fix your gaze. So here's your opportunity. We'll deal with those who need Christ next. This is for the saints that has become, I'll call it this way, thank you, Holy Ghost, situational saints. You're a saint when the situation is right. Everything is perfect around you. You won't be a saint then. Situational. And you're here today and you kind of vacillate between in and out, you know, in the world, out the world, in the church, out the church, in the godliness, holiness, out of God, holiness, just kind of jumping in and out, playing double dutch with the things of God. I'm talking to you, I'll call you like the Bible call you, backslider. He's married to the backslider, so he's here for you today. If that's you today, after I pray, I want you to make a decision. Get your life right with the Lord. Father, now in the name of Jesus, I thank you that indeed you are married to the backslider. Father, I thank you today that you're leaving the 99 to go after the one. You love that one. You want the whole, but you'll leave the whole just to get the one. You'll leave the multitude to go get that one. So, Father, today we declare today that the one is coming home. Father, we rejoice with you as you do in heaven when one sinner returns back to you, that the angels get to see our rejoicing. So, Father, we rejoice here in the earth realm as a reflection of what's taking place in heaven when one comes back to you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, if that's you today, you made some mistakes, done some things wrong, would you lift your hand and say, that's me? Do it now. I made some mistakes, but I want to make sure I get it right with the Lord. Do it quickly. We'll delay with our time. Amen. I see you, ma'am. I believe there's others today. Get real and say, that's me. I messed up. Love covers a multitude of sin. That's not a license for you to sin, but when you do fall in sin, he loves you enough to pull you out of it. It's called conviction. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You messed up. He didn't take his Holy Spirit from you. That was your only way to come back. If you ain't got the Spirit, then you have no door, no recourse to come back to God. So you messed up. He says, listen, I saw you mess up, and the Holy Spirit is convicting you for your mess up. And that's you. Would you lift your hand? That's me. I messed up. Let me get it right. Any others? Okay. There are those of you who are unsaved. You had not accepted Jesus Christ in the pardon of your sins. Today is your day for you to get it right. If that's you today, I want to make an open declaration that you're getting your life right for Christ. If that's you, lift your hand. Father, we bless you. God, we thank you. God, we give you glory. God, we give you praise. My last appeal to you today, you don't have a church home, but you stumbled your way in here, at least you thought. The Bible says, none come unless the Spirit of God draws them. I believe the Spirit of God led you here, however it came, by Facebook search, Google search, however it is. You're here today, and the Holy Spirit has spoken to your heart. You've been drawn even now. If that's you today, need a church, don't have a church, but you want to join this church, if that's you, put your hand in the air. I see you, ma'am. I believe there's one other that would say that's me today. I want to make a decision to be a part of what God is doing here today. The Holy Spirit is drawing me. If that's you, lift your hand. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's the one. There it is. Glory to God. Glory to God. For those of you who lifted your hands to be a part of LA, would you stand? Come meet me down here if you would. Amen. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, y'all. Encourage them with your hand clap. Encourage them. While they're coming, the ones who lifted your hand for salvation, would you come? Amen. Along with them. Come along with them. Amen. Want to pray with you. Amen. Our intercessors are here to pray with you. Amen. Call you up not to embarrass you. We all had to walk this road. Amen. Amen. Any others? Any others? Any others? You still have time, opportunity. As the church folk will say, the doors of the church is open. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Amen. Amen. Glory to the Lamb of God. Bless his holy, wonderful, and righteous name. Hallelujah. Come on, man. TJ, if you would, close us out in prayer. Amen. For all of our first time, second time, third time, reoccurring guests, amen. I would love to meet you, greet you. I'll be in the foyer after we close. I think we got some stuff for sale. What's that? In front of the tablecloth. Any announcement? R&B treasures. Oh, my God. We got R&B treasures in the foyer on today. Some delicious sweets for you. Amen. Please support R&B treasures on your way out. Love you guys. Amen. God bless you.
Let us stand up, everybody. We're going to be mindful of those who are still being ministered to at the altar. Amen. Let us pray. God, we thank you. We thank you that we know again today that we have history with you. You have been with us. You have known us since the beginning of time. And now we fix our eyes upon you today. As we leave from this place, we know that we never leave your presence. May we be reminded today that when we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, that is where our power is. May this week be filled with power for each and every person under the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, amen. Love y'all.